AM 1450 KATE, and we always say this, the best things about Monday. So we get to talk to our good friend Mike Grimm with the Minnesota News Network, and of course, the voice of Golden Gopher Athletics. And Mike, a good afternoon. How you doing?
Yeah, doing good, thanks. Always a thrill to be on. There's no doubt about that. And another good Monday to start the week off here.
Absolutely. We got a lot of topics to talk about, but let's start with Gopher Sports. The softball team, they saw their season come to an end. I watched their win, I think, against, Prairie View. They had to beat them.
Yeah.
Then they got beat by Texas A&M, where they had a lead and let the lead get away. So their season is over. That was a tough, I guess, four-team bracket with Oklahoma being the top overall seed. It's always fun to watch softball. I love playoff softball, and it was good to see the Gophers get some national exposure.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I think this is a, this was a team that had a few places they needed to fill in, you know, from players that had gone, super seniors that were on this team last year. They didn't have Amber Fizer, which, you know, they were a factor last year. They were in the Big Ten race right to the very last weekend. And they were not this year in terms of, you know, a title contender. They were right around 500 most of the year. And then really got it together and finished the year strong. They got a couple games over 500. Their strength of schedule was top 10 in the country. And they had like seven or eight top 40 wins in the last like 3 weeks of the season, which the committee just couldn't ignore it. So I think the fact that they had places to fill in and some question marks to answer, and quite honestly, they didn't know if they were answering them as they got through the season. And they put it together a little bit, and I think they now feel pretty good about what the situation is. They're going to go have to probably find more pitching. And Natalie Den Hartog, the all-time leading home run hitter, has announced that she will be back. She'll come back as a super senior next year, and that's a huge deal. I mean, she's one of the top, you know, three or four players in the Big Ten, and you know, one of the top players in the country. So I'm trying to explain it right. I think that they feel good about it. I think they weren't sure, and I think they like it. I think they like this group. And I think they feel like next year they can be back in the title contention. And look, they've made the tournament 9 straight years now. You know, obviously nobody made it the year that the COVID wiped the season out in the spring of 2020. But you really don't count that for anybody. But 9 straight when you remove that, and that's a pretty good set of it's a pretty good foundation with which they have to continue to build.
Gopher softball team again goes 1-2 in the regional. Their season does come to an end. How about the baseball team? I know the college baseball playoffs are right around the corner. Where do the Gophers sit right now?
Yeah, so baseball season is done. The Big Ten is an interesting league in terms of the postseason tournament. I'm not a big fan of this, but with baseball, it takes so long to play games at the college level and everything else. They only have 8 teams in the Big Ten tournament, so the Gophers did not finish in the top 8 of the league, so their season finished on Saturday when they lost to Northwestern, and they have struggled 2 years in a row now, and it's very uncommon, right? John Anderson is the winningest coach in the history of the Big Ten. More Big Ten wins, more Big Ten championships. This is a program that, you know, is really only 4 years removed from a super regional appearance, and they have really hit hard times here the last 2 years. I don't know what the final record was, but I'm going to say it was around 15-30 this year. Just won a few Big Ten games. I don't know what the answer is. They've got to figure out, much like basketball, they've got to figure out how to keep some of these really good home state players at home. The club's baseball scene now in Minnesota has really been a key factor in teams from the South kind of realizing that, oh, geez, Minnesota's got some high school players up there that are pretty good. And so the exposure that a lot of those guys get, and it's hard to say no to a team from the South, right? You play year-round, you're playing in premier conferences and all of that. And so they've got to figure out a way to, to do that. For a number of years, they probably had the benefit of most of those teams in the South ignoring Minnesota as just a state that is a northern state. And those same great players were basically staying at home because that was their option. Well, now the options are immense, and this club sports scene up here has really, exposed these guys. So I think that's part of the issue, you know, they're John Anderson, I've talked to him a few times, you know, at the start of this year. He said they did some soul searching after last year and felt really good about this team. And for whatever reason, the wins just haven't come. So we'll see. I'm sure there'll be more soul searching and more strategic things, more, you know, ways they can get better in terms of recruiting, all of that stuff here. But certainly not the year John Anderson wanted, that's for sure.
Gopher baseball season over. Again, Mike Grimm on a Mike Grimm Monday, the voice of Gopher Sports. And Mike, let's keep talking baseball. The Minnesota Twins still on top of the AL Central, 25-16, four-game lead over the White Sox. And if you're going to win the Central, you have to take care of the bottom teams. They go to Kansas City. Yeah. They had one heck of a comeback yesterday to come back and beat the Royals. Now they got Detroit, then Kansas City again, and then Detroit. These are the games you got to win. You got to beat the teams on the bottom of your division. And so far in the first three games of this stretch, it's looking good.
No doubt, you know. And they also, I think, to start that last road trip, was it Oakland maybe they were out? They
correct,
were out in Oakland.
Yeah.
And they're no good either, so you got to do that. So they basically, you know, for most of yesterday, it looked like they were going to be 4-2 on the six-game road trip, and then they scored that 7 runs in the last two innings to make it 5-1. That's a great road trip, and they're playing well. They've won 6 of 7. They swept Kansas City. You know, that win yesterday, you know, who knows where this season goes? And, you know, we talked about it last week, and we joked a little that any other sports team's fan base would be really excited about where this team is, but the way that Minnesota sports teams handle the playoffs, it's hard. You know, you just always have this guarded, weird cloud hanging over your head, right? But I've always thought over the course of time, I've watching how baseball seasons unfold, sometimes teams that end up having kind of some special things happen have something that triggers them, and maybe that win yesterday can be something like that. I mean, I think this team looks good. You and I think we're more optimistic than most. I remember talking at the start of the year, you know, I like some of what they had done with the trades and the lineup, and sometimes you just have to retool a roster, right? And you know, at the time we thought, I did, and I think you agreed, you know, they still could use another pitcher or two. That still is probably the case, but this pitching's been better, and let's face it, even the guy they got, Paddock, is out. They have not necessarily missed him because some other guys have really stepped up. The bullpen's been way better than we thought. You know, you got Griffin Jacks, who, you know, struggled as a starter last year, really thriving in a reliever role. You've got, you know, some other guys that have that have really stepped up there at the back end, too, you know. So, that all said, that win yesterday, who knows? Maybe that's one of those kind of galvanizing kind of wins that, you know, you can get some momentum. And as you say, they've got, you know, a light schedule on paper here over the next another, 10 days or so. I know the Yankees come to town in a week and a half, and that will, you know, that's the best team in the league right now record-wise. But up through that Yankees series, you know, those are all teams that, like you say, you know, if you can – you know, just win the series against those teams, you're gonna put together a good run, and all of a sudden you can put yourself in a really good position. Is I stole this from a colleague of mine in St. Louis, and I know you've referenced it before. You can put yourself in really good position by the time Flag Day rolls around, and Flag Day is not that far away now. We're just about 2.5 weeks or so from Flag Day, so maybe 3 weeks. So. You got this late schedule. You got that big win yesterday. Can that propel them? Can that get them going? I'm pretty bullish on the team, as you can hear. I like the way this team's playing right now.
Now, Mike, speaking of the Twins, you mentioned Chris Paddock. He is done for the season. Taylor Rogers, who the Twins got rid of in that trade, he's one of the top save guys in Major League Baseball. So that's bad for this season. You talked about the enthusiasm around this team and, you know, how Minnesota fans are pretty guarded when it comes to teams. It's a four-game lead in the Central. They're off to a 25-16 start. But I would agree the enthusiasm, the hype around the Twins early, you know, hearing people talk about Minnesota Twins baseball, it's kind of been mellow. It's been very mellow, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. And it's early, although, you know, the time flies, man. It's amazing. We're already almost to June here, how fast time goes. And I notice as every year I get older, the time goes faster. So that's a good philosophical debate someday we can have. But, you're right. There hasn't been, I think part of it is that, Buxton hasn't played every day, and people are bitter about that. And That trade that Taylor Rogers is just an atrocious trade. It was kind of silly, I thought, at the time, and it's even more stupid now, you know, when you look at it. You got, how much better would this team be with Rogers? You know, they got a couple of guys out of that trade, one that they knew was injured last year and said, we're going to roll the dice, and now he's done for the year and maybe more, and a reliever who struggled. And they paid the Padres extra money out of that deal. They're paying much of Taylor Rogers' contract. So it's still that's a baffling move. I don't know how any baseball person could look at that and say that's a good move. But they did it. So you got that. You got, Carlos Correa. They signed him for $30 million, and people were bitter about that because they didn't add pitching, you know. And it's like, man, you try something. And, I think just in general, there's just this general haziness about being a Minnesota sports fan, because a lot of that was kind of around the time the Wolves got bounced, and then not much longer later the Wild got bounced, and so you're right, you know, it and generally it's a negative media market anyway, and so I think True. That feeds into the into the tone as well. So all of that, that means you got to do a little bit extra, and it doesn't matter what sport. So let's see, if Byron Buxton I admit I was a little surprised when I heard that comment last week that their goal was to get him to 100 games. I mean, given the fact that he played 50, I think he's averaged 54 games played the last 3 years. I get that 100 games is twice that, but 100 games, that seems like a strange goal to me. And I know he's got tendonitis in his knee or whatever it is, and I'm almost want to say, well, is that a chronic thing? Is that never going to get better? And if that's the case, then maybe that contract they signed him for 7 years wasn't as good as we all thought, you know. So anyway, there's a lot there. The bottom line is they're in first place. They're playing the best baseball in the division by far. The White Sox aren't nearly as good at the moment as we thought. Sorry to tell you that. And we'll see where the division goes, you know.
White Sox will get better. Trust me. They're going to get better.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if I had to bet my own hard-earned money, which I don't like to do because I don't have that much of it, but if I were to bet my own hard-earned money, I probably still would hedge the bet and say that the White Sox will win the division. But that doesn't mean the Twins can't be in the tournament and make a postseason, be in the postseason, and who knows then. Like we always say, as tough as it is as a Minnesota sports fan to say, hey, let's see what they do in the postseason. That is really the key. Get to the tournament and see where it can go.
Mike Grimm on a Mike Grimm Monday, sports director, Minnesota News Network, and, of course, the voice of Golden Gopher Sports. Mike, let's talk Preakness. No big upset this time like the Kentucky Derby. The horse that won the Kentucky Derby did not compete on Saturday. Early voting wins the Preakness. Did you get a chance to watch it?
I did not. I was out of town this weekend. My niece graduated from college, so I was out of town. I did, thumb through the Twitter feed to see that early voting won. I didn't even know much about that horse. I just, they better check the machines. Did the votes count? I'm just kidding. Yeah, thank you. I can't take credit for that. There were all kinds of people joking about that, but I think was it Epicenter was the favorite.
Correct.
And, finished second, and so now Strike Rich, who won the Derby, is going to run the Belmont, right? So
okay, gotcha.
At least that horse will be back in there, and we'll see how much of a fluke, if at all, it was. And I did not see it yesterday, but early voting
is your winner.
Was the winner.
At the Preakness. Now, since you were gone this weekend, I know you're a big golf guy. Did you get a chance to see the PGA? Was it the PGA Championship?
Yeah. Yep. I got back in time to basically see the last two holes and see Perea melt down on the 18th. That's always an uncomfortable thing to watch in golf. Although I'd be not totally honest if I didn't say I was kind of pulling for Justin Thomas. I don't know why. I guess I just kind of, he's a good player and a big name, and I'm kind of a front runner when it comes to that. So the fact that he looked like he was going to get in the playoff was great. I didn't think that Perea would totally melt down like he did and not even end up in the playoff, the poor guy. And
so what happened? I didn't watch any of it. Give me a recap of what happened there at the end.
Yeah, so he had a one-stroke lead heading to the 18th. Now, the 18th was the hardest hole of the tournament, a long par four. Perea just went in and CBS almost missed the tee shot. He was in such a rush to get going. He just rushed up and hit it, and he hit this weird, I mean, the swing looked weird. It was like a chopped half swing. It was almost like he was trying to, I don't know what he was doing, but it was a weird-looking swing. It didn't even look like a full swing, but it was a driver, and he hit basically this wicked tailing slice that rolled into this little tiny creek that was on the right side of the, I mean, when I say little tiny creek, I mean like 2 feet. It was just a little creek, you know, a 2 foot wide creek, and the ball rolled in it. So he had to take the penalty, and so then he was basically hitting three from a rough angle and hit it out to the left, ended up double bogeying. So went from one up to one back, and that was that. Justin Thomas and Will Zalatoris, who were the two guys in the playoffs, they were tied for second, figuring, you know, all the guy has to do is par the hole to win it. And the TV coverage almost missed the tee shot, so nobody knows why he rushed it so much, or why he just didn't punch a 3-iron up there and, play for a 4. But he didn't, and, lesson learned, I guess, for him if he gets in that spot in the future. And then the next thing you know, Justin Thomas really played well. It was a 3-hole playoff aggregate, not sudden death. So they were going to play the 3 holes, and whoever had the best score through 3 holes.
Okay.
And both played well. Justin Thomas birdied the first 2 and parred the last and was 2 under, and Zalatoris was 1 under. So Justin Thomas wins his second major. Both of them are PGA championships.
Mike Grimm on a Mike Grimm Monday. Always talking sports, Minnesota sports, and some national headlines as well. Mike, thank you so much for the time. Have a great week. I know next week's the holiday, so we'll try to touch base maybe during the week. But thanks for the time. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Have a great week. And, let's figure out next week. Always enjoy it. Thank you, sir.